In the days before Russia invaded Ukraine, a leading climate scientist, Svetlana Krakowska, was in Kyiv racing to finish a landmark UN climate report. Then, Russian missiles and bombs started landing in her city. Colleagues offered to help her escape, but she stayed, trying to continue her climate research. Krakowska argues that these two issues are connected, that climate-warming fossil fuels have enabled Russia's invasion. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you for having me.
You stayed in Kyiv with your four children through this assault. What was that like? Were you able to focus on your work at all, or were you just focused on survival? Did you ever regret the decision to stay?
Well, you asked how we manage. Of course, we put all our efforts to survive here in Kyiv. My daughter, she slept over 40 days in bathroom because it's the safest place actually in the apartment. So it was not easy for me to concentrate on work, if be honest. But at the same time, I recognized my mission actually to tell the world the truth just from this city and to tell world about the war and about the reason of the war and reason of climate change.
You have argued that Russia's invasion of Ukraine is a fossil fuel war. What do you mean by that?
Well, actually, it's direct connection, of course, and with our demand to put this embargo on this Russian fossil fuels, it's directly connected because fossil fuels money, they go directly to Putin regime, to Russia, and it fund actually the war against Ukraine. Actually, I hoped that for people it will be clear that if cut this oil and gas to Russia, they will make very good choice actually to stop this aggression and stop to impact climate system. So two in one, in fact.
When we look at the immediate U.S. response to this war, we see a ban on importing Russian oil and gas. But at the same time, the U.S. is leaning on other oil-producing nations like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, encouraging them to produce more energy to make up for the shortfall from Russia and keep prices low. What do you make of that?
Yeah, of course, it's not so a simple decision. I understand our human civilization actually depend on energy sources. And at the same time, I should say that if we go to this IPCC report.
The IPCC report, that's the recent UN climate report.
It stays very clear that half of this emission, they can be cut just from the demand side. So maybe we just don't need so much fossil fuel and we can make this transformation much more quicker.
Since you began your research, have you already begun to see the impact of climate change on Ukraine in your own country?
Yeah, sure. 1 year in 2020, we even didn't have winter, which was really very unusual, in fact. But now we are in this war situation, and it's just very, very difficult to think about climate change and to speak on it in my country, in fact. That's why I start to speak to international community, in fact, just to push them to help us and to help the planet.
Climate science research stretches across national borders, and you have studied and done field work in Russia. Have any of your Russian colleagues reached out to you since the war began?
No, no one. From Russia, no one. I have actually contacts and support from, let's say, former Russian scientists, which are abroad now, but no one from Russia actually contacted me.
That is leading Ukrainian climate scientist Svetlana Krakowska, head of the Applied Climatology Laboratory at Ukraine's Hydrometeorological Institute, speaking with us from Kyiv. Thank you so much.
Thank you.